Blog Talk Radio.
Before we get rolling with the live cast, this is PW Torch editor Wade Keller with a quick message that we have a VIP sale going on. I just wrapped up a 96-minute roundtable exclusively for VIP members with Todd Martin and Bruce Mitchell that got heated. And we did over an hour, well over an hour, just on the Goldberg-Lesnar finish. And there are two very strong, differing opinions on this from two people whose opinions I respect tremendously and can articulate their views with passion. And they did so on this very special Survivor Series VIP audio roundtable. Oh, the first hour was on Goldberg-Lesnar, putting in a historical context, talking about the pros and cons, the rationale for doing it, what could make it work, what will make it not work, comparing it to how Hulk Hogan was booked and Steve Austin and The Rock were booked, Goldberg in the Monday Night War era, how UFC fits into this. Really interesting, fascinating, passionate discussion that is available for VIP members right now. If you're not a VIP member, we have a sale going on right now. If you enter coupon code SURVIVOR2016, SURVIVOR2016, you can get a VIP subscription right now, a VIP online subscription for $8 off. You can apply that to a one-year or three-month sub, but it also applies to a one-month sub, and it brings a normal $10 sub down to $2. And I would say it's worth it just for this roundtable if you're interested in this match and fascinated to hear a passionate discussion, if not debate, that got heated over the finish of tonight's match. So go sign up at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Click on the sign up form link if you want to go right to the sign up form and enter coupon code SURVIVOR2016. Or if you're not sure what comes with the VIP membership and all that it entails, you can scan that page and see highlights of what comes with a VIP membership. We'd love to have you as a member, whether you're a former member, a new member, whether you're in the United States or anywhere else in the world. Check us out. Dive on in. And we'd love to have you as a member. And I think you'll see the value that comes with it. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Coupon code at the bottom of the sign-up form. You want to enter SURVIVOR2016. And here we go with the show.
You're listening to the PW Torch Livecast for Friday, November 25th, 2016. I'm senior columnist Bruce Mitchell, to be joined quickly or pretty soon by Travis Bryant. Today after Thanksgiving, I hope everyone had a good family time together, safe and all that good stuff. And lots to talk about today, so we'll be doing that for, as I said, PW Torch Livecast. With first time I've been able to talk about wrestling in a public place since, well, I guess Twitter counts. I should say this. If you're not following me, follow me at Mitchell PW Torch, at Mitchell PW Torch. Lots of discussion about Sunday night and the big Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg main event for Survivor Series. Maybe less talk about James Ellsworth ladder match victory over AJ Styles on SmackDown, and let's talk, I guess, well, probably in the middle somewhere, was Kevin Owens defending his Universal title in a no disqualification match against Seth Rollins in the main event of Raw. And then, of course, I'm obligated to say by contract that Thanksgiving used to be the biggest wrestling day of the year where I'm from and a lot of other places. And of course that changed many, many years ago, pretty much with the advent of pay-per-view, but it's definitely there. Let's have a friend from East Coast Coast Audio, Travis Bryant, who I have been waiting to talk to for a while. Travis, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
What's happening, Bruce? Livecast audience, what up?
Cool. Good deal. How's your first Texas night going?
It was good. We ate barbecue, so.
Good, yeah. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. It's all right. So I've been dying. You're the one I haven't heard from. And I did think of you Sunday night because, you know, one of your complaints about Brock Lesnar matches was that Brock Lesnar was getting too predictable. He had that one suplex that he did over and over again, and Sunday night he had zero suplexes. So, what's your reaction? What was your reaction to it when you saw it? The minute and a half match main event. What's your reaction now to it? What do you think?
Yeah, well, the whole pay-per-view up until the main event, we watched on mute while we listened to music. Like, paying attention visually, but we didn't care the commentary or hear the crowd responses. We just, you know, looked at the chaos in the rings. But as soon as the Lesnar-Goldberg match started, or the Brock came out, I said, all right, we have to – I was really interested in that Canadian crowd, that Toronto crowd, and how they were going to respond to Goldberg, especially. And so from the gate, it was a pleasant surprise that they were completely, for the most part, bought in. There was the you screwed Brett stuff the next night, but there was no one trying to be smart asses, or it was just, hey, Goldberg's here, let's chant his name and cheer for him wildly. And then the match itself, I mean, it was epic in a way. I mean, I just mouth dropped, and we looked, me and Jason looked at each other like, what the hell just happened? The whole time we had this like pleasant, you know, happy look on our face. Nobody was like crying about it. Like, it was just an amazing like sequence of a minute and a half.
So, how do you feel about as far as business goes? Good business.
Oh, I think
good business in the short term.
I think it's long term. I think it's fine. I think it probably, you know, popped things a little bit going forward. Just got people talking, some excitement, some genuine excitement over, you know, a match, not a guy showing up out of the crowd to interfere or returning. It was, did you see that match? Did you see that finish? Kind of excitement.
So, is there a problem with Bill Goldberg being 49 years old, not having wrestled in 15 years, having bad knees, having a bad shoulder, probably couldn't get through a 10-minute match?
But I don't know that.
Is that a problem for what you saw Sunday night?
No. From what I saw, I saw good knees. I saw a good shoulder. There wasn't 6 weeks of telling us how. Look at the gray hair in his goatee. Look at his. When he took his shirt off, Michael Cole didn't go, oh, he doesn't look like he did back in 2003. You know, it was everybody just gave it up for the guy and bought in. Again, I just used that term. I mean, everybody bought in. So I bought in. I didn't think about it. I thought about his shoulder and the aspect of before the match even started. Like, I wonder how they're... And that played into my thinking about the finish, but then you learn later that, nope, had nothing, injury or nothing had anything to do with this. This was the match. That was the finish. That was the time of the match the whole time. So,
well, and for PWTorch.com VIP members, Sunday night, Wade Keller and I, and particularly Todd Martin and I had a tremendous debate. It was, I said as soon as it was over, it was a doozy about all this, and I'm very positive on the finish, and he has major qualms, and I've heard from people with major qualms, and then kind of the reaction to the roundtable itself, I got in waves. I got a wave of you're right, a big wave of you're right, then, and it's not scientific, obviously, big wave of you're right, then a big wave of no, you're terribly wrong, and this is going to kill. This is going to really hurt Brock Lesnar, and he's not going to be able to put over. They spent 2 years building him up, and he's not going to be able to put over the new young guy now. And what do they do? And then it kind of turned around again with that. So I was interested in, and I have a lot to say about on Bruce Mitchell audio show for PIP members with Wade Keller this week. But Todd Martin, as the schedule works, he talked to Wade first, and I listened to what he had to say, and some interesting, I'm going into deeper with all that, some interesting stuff. But so where were you, you listened to our roundtable? Where were you on it?
I listened to a good deal of the first hour, which is what you're talking about. And it was, I was right there with you most of the time. I'm not sitting here thinking, oh, that could have been Shinsuke Nakamura, because it couldn't have been in the way things are right now, or the way they book and the way people are perceived. If you think Brock Lesnar was going to go out there and lose in that kind of fashion to a friggin' phenomenal forearm or something like that, you're out of your mind. He said it himself, oh, Goldberg, oh, yeah, no, I'll work with him. That's a good idea. He's a guy I can respect to, put over. And he didn't have a 10, 12, 15-minute match, so I can't, call him lazy or bad to work with like he was apparently with Dean Ambrose, not wanting to do anything that Ambrose bought up or anybody bought up. But apparently he was gung-ho and all for this. So I don't know what that says about him and his level of professionalism. But, hey, Lesnar was fine with it. So, or not Lesnar was fine with it. Lesnar had that attitude. So I think you should probably understand what would have happened if they said, oh, yeah, we're going to put this Shinsuke guy over. He's going to hit you with the Kinshasa and the match is going to be over in 47 seconds. And he'd be like, get this guy out of here. I'm not doing that.
What did you think about the length of the main event? Is that a ripoff in WWE in the WWE?
Absolutely
universe,
not. What a joke. What a joke.
Okay, good.
What an absolute crybaby bullcrap wrestling fan reason to complain.
Go more. Tell why.
It worked from fine. It's people lose in 90 seconds. And then a couple friends of mine were trying to convince Josh that it was a decent finish, so they're like super kayfabe, and they're like, okay, Josh, if you look at it, if you think about it, Goldberg speared him twice in the intestines, right in the diverticulitis, so he hit him in the one vulnerable spot he had, so if you have to try to fool yourself into if you gotta all of a sudden be the 8-year-old and you're huffing and puffing and you gotta create some silly excuse for why it works, you even have it kayfabe wise, and again, people lose in 90 seconds. People get caught. You saw the look on his face, Brock's face, when he picked him up, Goldberg up, and dumped him into the turnbuckle, and he had this cocky, shit-eating smirk on his face, and then Goldberg shoved him to the ground, and everything changed. But by then, it was too late because he had to try to stand up, and hey, that spear was there, and the other one, and the jackhammer, and that was it. And that worked logically. The progression of moves and things that happened psychologically, all that worked for me. And the whole ripoff thing, yeah, because you pay $55 for $65 for pay per view, and you feel like you didn't get your money's worth. Shut up! I don't want to hear any of that.
Yeah, I think in the main, if you get a WWE network, although I would love this, obviously, because I'm lazy, but I mean, you got, or depending on my schedule, I'd hate it. But if you got a WWE network Sunday night show that went 35 minutes for your $9.99 or your $55, and I would see where you'd say that's a ripoff. But when you got, as you just finished a 50 plus minute match, and you're not from, and the big main event is the most realistic main event, which is Brock Lesnar, which is what they're going for. Fights do end quickly. And just because they haven't done it in years doesn't mean you can't do that, particularly when you do it in that dramatic a fashion. So I think that's just ridiculous, particularly when you look at, would you rather see those two go 10 minutes or would you rather see those two do what they did? Would you rather see those two go 20 minutes or do what they did?
That's the ripoff. If I have to sit there for 13 minutes watching these slugs, you know, do shoulder tackles and Brock throw this guy around doing this one move that he has, and then some, you know, finish. I don't know. Whatever. I might not think ripoff, but I'd be like, whatever. That wasn't all that good or exciting or shocking or worth caring about Raw for the next few weeks about. I mean, this changes everything on TV, too. I mean, people don't stop and think about that. Especially from what we got the next night.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Bill Goldberg comes on, announces that he's not finished. Interestingly enough, announces that it was Stephanie McMahon who backstage talked him into one more title shot, so he wants to one more title run, so he wants to be in the Royal Rumble. Do you think the shelf life of Bill Goldberg right now can sustain through the Royal Rumble, can sustain through WrestleMania?
Oh, yeah. He's not going to be on Raw every week. So, absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Good. So,
No doubt about it.
I mean, there's some things in play now that get a little more interesting. I just think that they needed a baby face. This baby face started getting over for a lot of different reasons, some of which weren't even in their control. And they went with it, and that's what you should do. And I don't think I honestly don't think, number one, it hurts Brock Lesnar very much, if at all. I think of Brock Lesnar, and I talked about it on the thing, and I thought he lost something because matches have consequence. But I kind of stick to that, but I also think this is a big deal. It's played as a big deal. It's a big deal. When he comes back, there's going to be intrigue in why he's back. You know, what does he have to say? What does he have to do? What does Paul Heyman have to say about it? What do they do about it? And then on down the line, I think, the deal with Goldberg is big money per appearance. And I think you do the appearances until you start to sense he runs out of gas. And then when he's running out of gas, you beat him and you send him home. You don't bring him back. But I mean, it's like, but with that, or even maybe even not beat him then. But I mean, that's where you gave everybody that experience. The one argument I never heard anybody talk about was what would have happened if Goldberg had lost Sunday night. No one ever says that's better for that show. Like, I don't hear anybody talk about that. What a downer that would have been. What a downer that would have been for fans who are already not all that happy with stuff. I think there's a minority that thinks they book wrestling or has this understanding, and they're missing the most important, the most obvious, simple thing, which is you got a baby face and he's over, and you put him over and he's a superhero baby face. You got to put him over strong, and then you set him up for more matches down the line. And I think they've got, you know, we'll see, but I think they've got something. We will go to on phone calls after word from our sponsor.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
Encourage folks to call today with your opinion of anything in professional wrestling, but particularly what happened with what happened on Sunday night. I'm definitely interested in pros and cons to what happened with main event. Let's go to a first call. Let's go to Brian from Phoenix, longtime PW Torch VIP member. Brian, hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Hey, good evening, Bruce. Good evening, Travis. First of all, I hope you both have a real good weekend. So a couple things I will talk about is, first thing, and I'm really glad Survivor Series is over, because I was really, let's say I was not very happy about all of the continuing complaining about, okay, it's too soon for SmackDown and Raw to fight each other. I mean, it's only been 4 months since the brand split. But there's a precedence with Survivor Series being that, you know, two teams, and it's face versus or two faces and heels on the same team together. But I'm just glad the match is over, and I overall enjoyed all of the Survivor Series traditional matches. My second point is that Bruce, as you know and Trav knows, I've been like a PW Torch VIP subscriber for 25 years, and I've always gotten really good breaking news over these 25 years. And I wanted to commend you, Bruce, on last weekend's VIP exclusive Bruce Mitchell audio show, where you broke the news about how WWE was going to have a 905 live show. And I think, you know, that's what I look forward to getting that kind of thing from. By the way, Bruce, if that would be a show, that'd be
the 905 show, a lot of the contestants, a lot of the participants in this big 905 show tournament training yesterday and making sure that they ate more than three or four plates, made sure they got in those extra mashed potatoes and gravy, made sure they got, you know, that they added the stuffing with the mashed potatoes and lots of cheesecake and pumpkin pie. So I feel certain that this is going to be something new for wrestling fans to enjoy, to compare and contrast to the 205 show. Thank you, Brian, for pointing that out.
Oh, hey, you're welcome. And just knowing how people had to what they had to do to cut the weight or get to the weight would be, again, if that show happened, would be, in my opinion, one of the greatest things ever on the WWE Network, the 905 show.
Yeah, I think the McGuire twins are on their way back. I think the McGuire twins are going to be coming back to professional wrestling to participate in this. But, you know, I know you've been around for a long, long time, and I want to say that probably is the third or fourth news story I've broken in 25, 26 years. So appreciate you giving me my props for it.
Yeah, and the McGuire twins can ride their little mopeds or motorcycles in to the ring, ride them in ring style. So to be serious, and I hope you both have a real good weekend, and I'm doing some Black Friday shopping. I'm in Lowe's right now looking at some water coolers. But anyway, I want you and Trav, Bruce, to talk about women's wrestling over, and I should say more specifically, WWE women's wrestling over last weekend Survivor Series. So we had Asuka, she retained her title against Mickie James, and then the Raw and SmackDown women, they were in the traditional Survivor Series matches. But can you talk a little bit about where should WWE go now with Asuka, Charlotte, and Becky, like maybe the next feuds that, really Charlotte technically is in a feud with going with Becky. I'm sorry, not with Becky, with Bayley. And then Becky should be matching up soon with Alexa Bliss. But you can talk about the three women's WWE, three women's championships. I'll hang on and listen. And I hope you both have a real good weekend. Thanks a lot, Bruce and Trav.
Appreciate it, Brian. Trav?
Yeah, I'm more excited about Asuka and her prospects and upcoming contenders than I am for anything Becky or Charlotte have on the horizon. I think that Mickie James match, it was the best match I've seen Asuka in. I haven't really enjoyed her matches just because of not that she's so dominant, but how and how she goes about her dominance. And I thought Mickie just had a natural, realistic counter for Asuka's style. And I don't know. And I thought it's not size because, you know, Mickie's not some, you know, big woman or anything. I think it's sized the other way when I think of Liv Morgan or one of those, Aussie Billie Kay or the other one in there with her. Yeah, the size is because they're not good and they're tiny, frail, you know, women. And Mickie James has that experience. We've seen her for years and she looks like, you know, she can punch a bitch in the face and it would hurt. So all those factors, and the fact that they went in there and had this great match that told this wonderful story, and Mickie's promo after the match that they showed on NXT, you know, it was like, I didn't mind, you know, the tears and the emotion because I was kind of right there with her, like, yeah, you know, she's probably butterflies not knowing how this match is going to go, how she's going to be received, and then to have just such a knockout match. And and to put in such a strong performance, I could understand why she got so overwhelmed. But I don't really care what's happening on Raw and SmackDown with the women. I'm interested in who's next for Asuka. I think, just for credibility's sake, I think the – and she's not really good either. She just has a look and a feel about her that I think would work. I think they should elevate the MMA-style woman that's on NXT to championship level. Somehow she gets a match. And I think it would work with their story that they're telling with the two Aussie beautiful people. It seems like that's where they're going with those two. It would add something to their story, their dynamic as a trio. Like, we brought this woman in basically to kind of protect us and to take some of the physicality off of us. And now she leapfrogs us and is getting a title match. And then finally, Ember Moon. It's like, when is she going to get there? Because again, she has that, the size and the intimidation factor where she just naturally looks like she could go toe to toe with Asuka and not back down, or not. It wouldn't be unrealistic when she's firing up, making a comeback like it does or would if Liv Morgan was opposite Asuka.
Yeah, I thought, kind of take it to the other side. I thought Charlotte and Bayley got set up pretty well. I like that Charlotte, you know, immediately as soon as the game was over, as soon as the team, you know, the softball game was over, attacked Bayley and acted like a heel and beat her up, and that Bayley got the pin. I thought that was good. I wasn't crazy about the match at all. I thought there were some problems with it. And there's some intrigue with Nia Jax, but I don't know that she's and she seemed to get over a little bit with her power moves, but I don't see her ready yet wherever they put her, if they put her in the main, and I think that's what we're going to get. But Sasha, to me, I'm interested in Sasha Banks seems to be back down the ladder again. And it's not just that it's Bayley's turn or like that she lost in Boston and they want to keep it on Charlotte and they keep moving with it. She just didn't seem to have that much going on. She lost early in the Survivor Series match. She didn't really get it back on Monday night. I mean, she had her, you know, it just wasn't there. And I don't know, you know, she's got her match in Charlotte, but I don't think she's going to, against Charlotte, for the WWE Women's title, but I don't think there's a big, you know, wave of momentum with her and that she's going to win or something's going to happen coming out of it that really has to do with Sasha Banks. I think this is more set up for Bayley. I am interested to see whether people boo Charlotte or they take her as the hometown hero. I think they're going to boo her. I think there's a difference between, even with the Flair name, Ric Flair, her father, was there for many, many years. He kind of, you know, for decades, and, you know, was part of the town and part of the heritage of the town. And I don't know that Charlotte is the same thing. And also, frankly, Rick didn't leave on that great of terms the last couple of years, you know, a few years ago. So, but I just think it's a new generation of fans, and I imagine they'll just react to Charlotte being the heel. As far as Asuka goes, she's a solid, good, athletic, credible wrestling champion with a little bit of a heel tinge to her. And I think she stays in NXT for a little while. Becky Lynch does what, and Alexa Bliss do whatever they're going to do. And the one that helped herself the most, I think, was Mickie James. But Mickie James can be added to either Raw or SmackDown's roster, and it'd be credible. Look at, I also, I don't know, maybe it's just SmackDown, but it just seems to me that there's, you know, not just SmackDown, but it just seems to me like, and maybe it's the Emelina stuff, but that the women's division is slipping back more into the tits and ass side than it is the athletic woman side. That you're kind of seeing, there's more costuming and what they're doing, but Sasha Banks is dressed very scantily and talked, you know, he talked about Nikki Bella, and I kind of wonder about that too. So anyway, that's where I see stuff. I don't think there's anything that really moved that much this weekend with that. Let's go to my friend Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
How you doing today, Bruce? How you doing, Travis, on this Black Friday?
What's up, man?
Yeah. Bruce, I hated to say that I didn't agree with you on what you were saying on the VIP show, the roundtable, but that was an epic and classic debate that you and Todd had, but I was more on Todd's side than yours, and I thought I would never be able to say that ever since I've been listening to the Torch, because like I told you, you the gospel when it comes to all this in my eyes. So I was just dumbfounded when I had to disagree with Bruce Mitchell.
It's all right. That's what it's there for.
It's turning his back on the gospel. I mean, I don't know what that says, but it says something.
Well, at least he was with the gospel for a while there, Travis. I mean, So anyway, yeah. Go ahead, Darrell.
Well, Bruce, my whole thing is, I know you, when you said about the Goldberg thing and it didn't really hurt, but usually you want to use those type of guys, and I don't care. I wasn't one of the people who was, they needed to have a 10-minute match, 15-minute match. I felt like when they did this afterwards, this was the bad salesman trying to con you into buying something. Buy into something that once you get it home and you use it, you feel like, oh man, I just been used. And that's what I felt this whole match was, because basically they setting up for maybe a match at WrestleMania where you're going to get that 15 to 20 minute match that most people before the 90 seconds happened, they didn't want to see in the first place. And that's going to damage them even further. That could damage them even further down the line and after that. So that was one reason. And my other reason was I thought you're supposed to use guys like Brock maybe to build a new star. And I know people say, well, you don't know if they can build a star with all of this, but you don't know until you try. And when you build a new star, usually when you do that, don't you pop the business, where if the business kind of slow and you can build a credible star to use to help build stuff up, so you won't have that low, like on Raw, how it dropped off after people seeing Goldberg on the TV, the viewership started going down, SmackDown didn't go up in ratings. Now they have to find a way to turn everything around for a short turnaround for TLC. Don't you think they missed out on that opportunity?
Well, let me address some of that. First thing I would say is the goal of a guy like Brock Lesnar is to bring in more money than he takes in. I mean, simply. And I think that they made a new star. They made a new star, and people are going to give some people a stroke, but they made a new star in Bill Goldberg. Bill Goldberg wasn't a star for him. He had been retired for many, many years. He came out. He was used correctly. They went out of their way to make him the Bill Goldberg of WCW and not the Bill Goldberg of WWE. And that was what that all was about. And so there was an excitement in the air. I mean, there was the Google numbers, the interest in Survivor Series was high. You know, the numbers that the data that really does count showed that. Then they had a good rating, second only to the rating when Goldberg came back. And they had a very good rating, and you know, Darrell talking about it. And after Goldberg was, people knew that he wasn't going to come back, and he made his announcement, the rating went down. And he wasn't on SmackDown, and the rating went down. And so, indicators so far are that this worked. I don't think you can argue that this didn't work. Bill Goldberg gives them a new babyface to bring in as a special attraction. He's not someone that should be on television every week. And in fact, I think one of the things we're starting to see is that number one babyface should not be on television every single week with them, whether it's on Raw or SmackDown, or two of them shouldn't be. They should be treated as special attractions. And there's some things I think got learned by this. But, as far as are you being suckered into something by, whoa, that was great, so so I got to see it again. And then when you get the rematch, you get it when it sucks. I think they still have to know that, you know, the limits of what Bill Goldberg can do and book their way through it. I like the idea of putting him in the Royal Rumble, whether he wins or loses, because you can limit how much time he's in there. And if you want to do, and if you want to do him versus Brock Lesnar without the title, and they don't need a title, then Lesnar can do something to him at the Royal Rumble that cheats him of his chance for that title, and then they have the rematch, the revenge match at WrestleMania, and that's strong, and that doesn't expose him. But the key to any wrestler is don't expose him, and I think that was something that was important here, but it also fit the storyline of Bill Goldberg and what type of character he was much more than it would. I think Travis was talking about this. Nakamura or AJ Styles or anybody else. The whole idea of, you know, maybe they, you know, Kevin Owens, that they would beat Brock Lesnar. I mean, they would beat him, you know, in a long match. They're not going to beat. They shouldn't be beating him in 2 minutes. But Bill Goldberg is a superhero. He could catch the guy, and incredibly get him. And that's you know, where the other ones you'd have a much, you'd want to tell a much longer story, and still might not work. And none of them are set up anywhere close to where Bill Goldberg was. You talk about fair or unfair, and you talk about how ridiculous it is, the television time works against you in the WWE, that it is ridiculous, but it is. And so they did something right, and there it was. I mean, that's kind of a, I mean, I know we've talked a lot about this, but Travis, you have anything for Darrell as far as what he said?
No, he knows my feelings. We talked for a decent amount Wednesday.
Yeah, that's true. We'll have to make sure we get that. So, Darrell, how was that? You have anything else?
Yes, I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying about that. I'm just feeling like, well, he didn't make Goldberg into a star. He was already considered a star, an aging star, an old-time star. And to me,
yeah, but he didn't get the reaction of an old-time star. He got the reaction of a star. You know, it wasn't an old-time nostalgia pop. It was, this guy is credible. I mean, this guy looks right, and he talks right, and we believe him. Whether they should or not is, to me at this point, is immaterial. If you're talking about he's too old to be doing this, that was an argument for when they brought him in, before they brought him in. But after the first appearance and after Sunday night, it's not an argument right now. Maybe it becomes an argument later on, but right now he's a star. They made him anything. They made a new baby out of an old baby.
But he was already over. He was already over when he came out the first time, when he first came out. On that first Monday, he got the same pop. The pop didn't get no bigger or no louder. So when I was thinking that you saying made a star, did the pop go extremely louder? No, it was still the same, man. It doesn't help drive interest.
What I mean made a star was before they signed him. Then when they signed him and he came out and they didn't put a wig on him and they didn't have him wrestle 10 minutes and they, God forbid, didn't have Brock Lesnar beat him at Survivor Series because the spot of beating Brock Lesnar is going to be reserved for guys who work every Monday and Tuesday night. That they made him. I mean, like, they could have bought it. They could have screwed it up. He could have walked out and not been ready for it and not done a good promo. But he did a great promo. And he did a great, you know. So it's like that. You know, you can talk about when it started, but they went from zero to 100 with them. And from the minute they signed him. From the minute that he agreed to be on the 2K video game.
True. Well, the last two things I want to leave you guys with, maybe y'all can discuss. We got TLC coming up, and it's a quick turnaround. How do you feel they can be of interest in that? And going back to your star thing, don't you want your stars to drive interest in the business that makes people want to go and search out new people to follow behind and then build up their stardom? And that's it for me.
Take the last first. I think that when you have there's an economic term for it, and I don't have it in front of me, but that Dane McKeister, economics professor, shared with us on Twitter. But I think when you have people excited about a show and they're happy, and then we did this right, then they push the next guy. This next guy, you got a better faith, is going to be the right guy, as long as he doesn't have two R's in his initials. And, you know, that they'll do it right. I think that helps. I don't see where that hurts. And in fact, it shouldn't hurt. And it doesn't preclude getting somebody else over. In the history of wrestling, once they get the tentpole over, and usually they had tentpoles to get them over. They don't have that now. But once you get the tentpole over, then you start getting some other ones over, too. And maybe that, you know, and I still think it's going to be hard for them to do it because they're not changing how they book. But there are ways that this could help them change what they book and how they book and who they pick and do better. As far as TLC, TLC is going to have to be sold on the everyday Universal title and the everyday WWE title, and off the gimmick of tables, ladders, and chairs matches being a spectacle and being something fans want to see. Travis?
Yeah, this was the first time that I can remember wrestlers themselves. They always play a little promo and show you, TLC in 3 weeks. But it's in 2 weeks, like from that Sunday. It was from so they had wrestlers backstage, I think it was AJ and Ambrose in the locker room or whatever, like yelling and bickering it with each other, like, oh, well, I'll see you in 2 weeks at TLC. It's like, holy crap. They've gotten to the point where they have to promote promo wise, not just like a little graphic and the logo for the next pay per view and saying, you know, join us in however many weeks back here for three Sundays for the next pay per view. No, they have wrestlers on the pay per view cutting promos on each other about facing each other at another pay per view in 2 weeks.
Well, there's already reports.
There's no way to build a
schedule again
DLC because you have 2 weeks. You can't. It's not a thing
There's already, and it has to be because of WWE Network numbers and what people are watching. There's already reports that they're going to, they ratcheted up the schedule. They're going to ratchet down the schedule again. It'd probably be somewhere between what it used to be and what it is now, but that tells you something. I don't think there is any way. If they turned around, it'd be a mistake to turn around and rematch Bill Goldberg or Brock Lesnar or put Bill Goldberg on the show. I mean, it just wouldn't be worth the money
SmackDown
that it cost
only.
Them
keep that in
to
mind.
Get him there. Huh? And it's SmackDown only. Yeah, I'm just thinking of, what is it that you could jerk up and say, yeah, you're right, it's SmackDown only.
Yeah.
So, and they spent weeks pushing James Ellsworth and this little comedy deal this cute little comedy deal about – he's a nice guy and he works hard, so he deserves, he deserves a chance, and he keeps getting a chance, and da 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 da. And even my cynical that he was going to turn, it looked like they were going that way, and then he didn't. And they got the top talent bumping around for him instead of the other, instead of him being in support. And so I think you've got some. Whether you're into the comedy of it or the light comedy of it or not. If you're into it, that's not the kind of reaction, kind of laughing and chuckling along with it. It's going to mean that you're going to get a new subscription or be excited about your subscription watching it Sunday night. I don't think so.
On Wednesday in my write up to send in the write up of the East Coast cast, my last line was Dean Ambrose is hitting on all cylinders, but they aren't main event cylinders. So. Because he's really doing tremendous stuff right now. It's just the context of it is not main event stuff that you count on for people to put money, plop their money down for.
Yeah. Yeah, the big matches. Yeah, I agree. It's up and down comedy stuff. But I definitely agree with that. And speaking of Bill Goldberg returning to professional wrestling after a long absence, let's bring in our friend Scott from New Jersey, who's at least the biggest star.
No,
is Bill Goldberg.
No, Bruce, it's not Scott.
It's not. It's Boris who never won. All right, Boris, hold on. What you got? I'm looking at seven.
I think you knew it was me.
No, I'm looking. You know what? I got something in the dark. I can't say so. No, I did. Well,
I'm disappointing you.
You are an underrated mid caller. So go ahead. Go ahead, Boris.
I hope I had through this whole thing.
What did you think of that finish?
Hold on. I hope it's somewhere where you spoke that you did mention that this is a pure WCW guy that's over in 2016 on the WWE.
WCW went out of business years and years and years and years.
It doesn't matter.
There is no WCW.
This is a product of WCW over on a WWE show in 2016.
Let me put it in another way. So what?
No.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. So.
Yeah. So what?
But that's what it is. Did you ever think that though?
Yeah. Clearly, WCW had some stars that were real stars. And when they went WWE, that they were going to be real stars in WWE? I could name a bunch of them.
Well, that's nice staying here. He is. It's still Goldberg time right now. But I was just thinking about something Travis said. No, there was no point. I was just saying it, just to be saying it because I wanted to.
Oh, okay.
But I was thinking about something Travis said about the girls. I was thinking about something that Travis said about the girls that, you know, it's something, the show that Mickie James put on. I mean, when I see the girls now on the main show, it doesn't feel
Mickie James is older than
the same.
So.
I know.
Please.
I know.
She's just
will they be able to get to that point where it seemed like the way they booking them now is like they're going through the motions. The way at this point, because they've been on the show long enough, it just feels that they're going through the motions, some of the guys, and the girls just feel like they're just going through the motions. You know what I'm saying? Versus what we've seen with Oscar and Mickie James. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I don't see talent going through the motions. I see some problems with booking. I see some problems with storytelling and philosophies and all that kind of stuff. But I see a hardworking crew for the most part, so I don't know that I agree with your premise that much.
It just feels programmed to me. It's like they get out there and do, you know, the same. You know, it doesn't feel as organic as it was on NXT. You know what I'm saying?
They're pushed in different ways. They're pushed more to be comedic, light comedy performers. Travis.
What I get at, it's just the culture. It's just the tone of, you know, what they're the system they're in. It's like going from a team with, you know, a winning franchise to, you know, a non-winning team, a team that's always, you know, the Browns or something, where it's just like, ugh, if I'm a high draft pick, it's like, please don't draft me, Browns. You know, it's that. It's like the culture of NXT is obviously different. That's not a breaking point here. But yeah, I mean, they can only do so much. The women themselves or whoever in the match, they can only carry the physical part of it and the talking and just saying what they're told to say and the best, most effective way that they're allowed to say it. So it's just.
Now, I do want to take a little diversion for a second. You jumped solidly yesterday on the Dallas Cowboys bandwagon, didn't you, Travis? Now that you're a Texan.
What? No.
I mean, after
I didn't
all
even
those
watch
years,
I didn't
stink,
watch any football.
So after all those years, the Cowboys stink. You're a Philadelphia guy. The Eagles are one of their great rivals. And then you move to Texas, and all of a sudden the Cowboys are great. Now, come on, you jump.
Yeah, well,
and you got a fourth-round quarterback
who's like
a new big star.
When they get in the playoffs. Like, they can be great all they want. They can go 15-1. Matter of fact, at this point, I'd like them to go 15-1 and lose in the divisional. That'd be great because I'll be at brunch at the park surrounded like I was the year they lost to Green Bay, the catch nine catch, and just be surrounded by them, and I can just drink in their pain and their tears, and that'll be worth them going 15-0 and beating the Eagles, you know, if they beat them, to sweep the Eagles, and you know, like okay.
All right, I'm just checking on this.
I don't give a crap where I live. I would never, could never, ever be a Cowboys fan. That's just ridiculous in so many awful, terrible ways.
Yeah, what but you know,
terrible,
you start to like
franchise,
you start to acclimate
team
to the
and
people
fan
around
base.
You.
Yeah,
you start acclimating to the
well,
people
none of
around
the people
you.
Around me. I hang out with Jason, who's from Seattle. He's a Seahawks fan. I hang out with Cam. He's a Washington football team fan. I hang out with Shahid. He's an Eagles fan. He's from Philly. So, you know, I don't have a bunch of Texas friends.
No, all right, just checking. I just wanted to see. 514, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hi, this is Mark from Ontario. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Mark. Welcome back.
What's up, man?
Thanks. And so I went VIP today just to listen to the roundtable that Wade sold me on, which I really enjoyed, by the way. So I've got two questions, and I'm a relatively recent listener to The Torch. So what got more buzz, the Goldberg Brock or Brock ending the streak? In the context of the
That's
podcast.
That's a good question, Travis.
I'm going to go with the streak. I mean, that just, yeah. I mean, WrestleMania, you know, being in the building and then doing that audio in the car ride, you know, back from New Orleans that next Monday night with you. I mean, it was, I mean, Brian too, but really was all people wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I think there's more things in play with this. I think the controversy around Bill Goldberg winning is a much smaller one. For one thing, people were really happy about it. You know, like they got an epic main event. They were in a lot of fans' minds, and the majority of fans' minds, I would very much argue. And then with with Brock Lesnar beating Undertaker's streak. There was, and it's kind of, I keep saying this when I bring it up, but it was a shock in a bad way. People were upset by it, and it kind of sucked the air out of the show for a good 45 minutes. It wasn't a good match, and it just kind of came out of nowhere. And it wasn't, it was like, okay, is that it for The Undertaker? And what are they doing? And that streak really had a lot of resonance. That streak was something they marketed successfully for a long time, and then he lost it. And Undertaker had had a bunch of very good performances in keeping it. So all those things together, I think there was more shock and buzz about it. That's not to say that there wasn't a good bit of shock and buzz with this, but I think the Undertaker streak, and I still think there's the debate over whether, even after all those, you know, even these few years later, you know, should they have done it or should they have not? And I'm still on the side of they shouldn't have done. But yeah, I it's a good question. That's it's definitely a good question, Mark. What else do you have for us?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I guess my next thing is, you know, on the topic of absence makes the heart grow fonder with people being off TV, I think that's almost true in the way that, you know, everybody that comes back from an injury or from a long period of time seems to get a pop. So do you think John Cena's going to get a bit of a pop, or is he too overexposed when he comes back?
Well, they're counting on it because they set up AJ Styles to, you know, face him and defend the WWE title against him, and I definitely assume John Cena to beat him. And so for that 16th time, tying, you know, WWE's Ric Flair record, and I think he'll get a strong reaction, and I think he'll get more positive than negative because he has something in his favor now. He has two things in his favor now. He's been away. And then the other one is he's not Roman Reigns. I think people hate Roman Reigns more than they hate John Cena. So that's just my guess, Travis.
I think Cena will get a decent reaction and generate some generate a decent amount of buzz. I mean, they'll promote him a week or two before he comes back. Or maybe they won't, because they didn't exactly say he was leaving or what he was going to be doing. And if you say, oh, Cena will be back in 2 weeks, well, back from where? So it might just be, yeah, but then
you're saying Cena will be here in 2 weeks instead of back. You just say he'll be here. He's decided to be here.
Regardless what they do, they have to promote it, because they can't just have him show up and not get any kind of numbers out of it. So it's, you know, that my little thing about the back and here and all that, that's really, people ask, but they, whatever, once he's on screen, they'll probably just care about what he's doing now and going forward. So, but I'm sure they're looking forward to him coming back. And I actually am too, just because, so they won't have to spend so much time doing James Ellsworth type stuff on SmackDown. Like we talked about it a week or so ago about, I think it might've been Darrell, like how people aren't getting enough TV time or something. And I'm like, well, maybe that's because the Ellsworth stuff and the main event, quote unquote, main event stuff is getting too much time, because they don't have a ton of stuff to work with. So they have to stretch things out and go further with them than maybe you normally would with a deeper roster. So I'm sure they're really management, even the guys on SmackDown themselves.
But think of all the innovations that Dean Ambrose can do. Think of all the people he hasn't, like, he hasn't dressed up like Boss Man. He hasn't all the ones he could dress up like in place of John Cena.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week, and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
Let's go to our next caller, 140, I believe. Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast.
Yeah, Bruce, Travis, Jason calling from Australia. How are you?
That's what I thought. You know, Travis, Darrell turned on me on this Bill Goldberg thing, and this is the one that really, well, both of them really have upset me. I've had a hard week, you know, thinking about it.
Oh, because you think I turned on you?
Yeah. I didn't turn on you.
Yeah, bro, come on, Bruce. Just because I disagree with what you say about pro wrestling doesn't mean I'll turn on you personally. I think you're taking that a little bit too far. Come on.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, see? I just turned babyface there, didn't I? I just turned babyface on you right there. Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
All right. Let me put it to you this way. You said that Bill Goldberg, he's drawn a very good rating. Jeez, we're pretty much scraping the barrel now. 2.1 is considered a good rating. That water level has really sunk, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. But he increased the rating from before.
Yeah.
You can point to him and say he's changed the rating in a positive way.
Definitely. You know, I listened to the roundtable. I really enjoyed it like everyone else. I agree with both you and Todd. I think you both made good points. My thing is this, right? Yeah, I know. That's not me straddling the fence. I'm just saying what I believe. Now, here's the thing, though. Bruce, you mentioned that the great thing about this is that they're now teaching people that the over babyface got over the over heel, and that's Pro Wrestling 101, which I agree. My only issue, and I do mean this only issue, I don't care how long the match went, how many moves, that's all irrelevant to me. I couldn't care less. At the back of my mind, the only thing that annoyed me is that they have wasted, in my opinion, Brock Lesnar ending the streak. That's the only thing. If he didn't have that in his back pocket, I would be okay with it. The fact that they haven't been able to pass on that equity to someone else or even make a big deal out of it, I think it's incredibly disappointing. It's the only win-loss record that fans cared about, and they haven't been able to get anything from it. And I think a lot of fans who reconcile to themselves that, you know what, I will accept Lesnar defeating Undertaker for the streak as long as there's a good payoff. I think for a lot of fans, rightly or wrongly, they're going to think that this wasn't a good enough payoff. And you could alienate those fans. At the end of the day, we're going to find out whether this was successful or not, not in the next month or the next couple of months, but I believe in the second quarter of next year when we see those network buys, because they're giving away all these 3 months right now. In the second quarter, has Goldberg's appearance at WrestleMania made people stay? Have they bought onto the new stars? Because if they don't increase that 1.5 to, say, 1.7 or 1.8, then I think this hasn't been successful. Do you guys agree with the comment?
I agree. I mean, there's a couple things here. One of them is, and I tried to argue this really strongly Sunday night, and I still very much believe it, is that I don't think the equity that's in Brock Lesnar is gone. I don't think whatever the equity was, and I'm not as strong about it with that, you know, from the beginning with him beating Undertaker, but the equity that was there, that he was booked strongly, and he was, I think he's part of something that was big, and he'll be strong coming out of it, and you can continue to do, you can continue to use him as a lever later on, and also in a money-building attraction. And so you can get past the Goldberg thing, and there's literally nobody ready to be put in that position anyway. But you can get past the Goldberg thing with Brock Lesnar being an important star, and you can use him to make that new star too. And there's no reason you can't. That's the part where I really go to the side from a lot of people, which is, it's like, you know, it's like Undertaker was wearing a medal and Lesnar beat him decisively, so he got to wear the medal and he got to add to his medals. And then when someone beats Lesnar decisively, he loses all his little medals. And then Bill Goldberg gets them. And that's not what happens. And so I think that once you get through the intrigue of Goldberg and Brock Lesnar, and Lesnar comes out on the other side of it, I think he's going to come out on the other side of it more of an attraction. And then you can use him to build someone else. And then you've got a little bit more. They need a lot more of this. And I don't think this is enough. But you've got a little bit more faith in the brand. You've got a little bit more that they picked the guy I wanted to pick, which was Bill Goldberg, and they didn't pull the rug out from under me or come up with some excuse not to do it. They did it, and you know, and so maybe there's some hope for somebody besides Roman Reigns, and that's you know, that's where I'm like, I don't think this is a killer. Now, I don't think Bill Goldberg is enough to do what you're talking about, Jason. I mean, I don't know that Bill Goldberg. I think Bill Goldberg is going to help. I think WrestleMania season is going to help. But the fact that they're playing these free month games tells me something. And in fact, the fact that they went and did business with Bill Goldberg at a high price, a guy that they did not enjoy doing business with before, and some things changed in the power structure here. Tells me something too. So we'll see, you know, about the challenge that they face. And so we'll see, you know, hopefully there's more that it's going to take more than special attractions. It's going to take more than Bill Goldberg. It's going to take more than, you know, it's going to take more than The Rock making a cameo. And it's going to take, you know, what are they doing with Undertaker? And clearly they're changing up some things with Undertaker. So we'll see where this goes. But I think that this was a very positive move, and they need more of them.
Yeah, but the long game is to increase the network subscriptions. I mean, that's where their business is. So if Goldberg is not going to increase them, okay, he's going to increase video game sales, but isn't the network subscriptions the most important thing that you want to increase? If you feel like he's not going to increase then why bring it back at all?
Well, you can make that argument. As far as like why bring it back at all? Now we know it was a good thing to do it. I think they did something good. I think they got a lot of fans excited about a star. They got a lot of fans excited about a new. I know this sounds crazy to say in certain ways, but it's not a new babyface star for them in Bill Goldberg after all these years. And fans got a great ending to a show that they were excited about, and they said that. So I don't think that hurts network subscriptions. That might help network subscriptions. That should help network subscriptions. I want to see him at the Royal, you know, and then they turn around and announce he's going to be at the Royal Rumble. Well, I was on the fence about getting the Royal Rumble because I've been down on the product. So I'm going to get my subscription back up. I mean, that you would think that would help with that and not hurt. We'll see, but I don't for a second give into this idea that, you know, he did something good for the video game and he didn't do anything good for the networks. So, and again, you're right. We'll see how far, how long it lasts. And one of the things I've always said about Bill Goldberg is the attraction that's like a comet. You know, it flashes across the sky and it's very bright, and when it fades, it's gone. And so we'll see how long he lasts. I like Royal Rumble, though. I think that's a good way to keep him in the mix and not overexpose him.
Yeah. Well, look, at the end of the day, it is what it is. We'll see where they go from there. But I'll end on a couple of positive notes that I see from their programming. First, with the Royal Rumble, I'm really excited about the Royal Rumble this year because you've got SmackDown and the Raw brands going at it. So the way that I see it, I think that might do, say, 12 from Raw, 12 from SmackDown, maybe a couple from NXT, and maybe a couple of people you're not expecting. But what that means is that we're going to get the strongest contenders from Raw and the strongest from SmackDown in the Royal Rumble. And because now we've got two titles that they can go for, I actually think it's going to make it less predictable about who's going to win. Because in your mind, you can sort of say, well, if this guy wins, he might challenge for the world title or he might go for the Universal. It sets up a lot of different matches. As opposed to the, and this is one of the reasons why I like the two world titles, and I don't think anyone's complaining about this anymore, but if you go back the past few years, it was obvious Batista was going to win. It was obvious Roman Reigns was going to win. The smart money was on Triple H. And then the build to WrestleMania, we sort of limped there. But now I actually see the Royal Rumble being quite exciting because you can go on different options. So that's what I'm looking forward to. The other thing is that I like is on the SmackDown side, I'm really enjoying this Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt storyline. And the reason why I'm enjoying it, because I can see it as a way to get Luke Harper over. I think what's going to happen is that I think Harper is suspicious of Randy Orton siding with Bray Wyatt. From a storyline-wise, Orton has form. Remember, he lured Seth Rollins into a false sense of security, then he turned on him. I think he's going to do that with Bray as well. And Harper's going to get annoyed at Bray that he didn't see this coming. And it's going to lead to a Bray Wyatt babyface turn. And it's going to help give Luke Harper something to sink his teeth into as a heel. So I think they go down that path. They're finally going to do something with Harper, who long deserves it. And if it separates Bray Wyatt as a babyface by himself, I like that as well. So at least we could say with SmackDown, they've got limited resources, but they're really getting the most out of their stars. And I think they should be commended for that.
Yeah, I'm intrigued with what they're going to do with the Wyatt family. I don't know that they've got them there. And I still, you know, they've got everybody in the point where they do think Randy Orton's part of the Wyatt family. Maybe he stays. I could see even him saving Bray Wyatt at Survivor Series. I could see I saved him for me. I saved him because I'm the one that's going to, you know, hit the plunge. I mean, and no one else. And so, that there's some intrigue in that. Travis?
Yeah, I'm not really excited about the Wyatts. I don't know. I think it's just a placeholder for what they figure out they want to do with Bray and ultimately. We talked about it a little on Wednesday. Is this something they can stretch as far as, I mean, Randy teaming with them? But I don't see where the moment comes. Like Orton said, you can't beat him, join him. So we're thinking, well, he's going to set him up for a big downfall, or a big, like, well, when? And when does that come? Like, I don't see how they can turn this into, oh, that was worth 3 months of gaining the guy's trust and all that, so you could do that. I don't see what that could be. That's all that interesting.
So, yeah, I feel what you're saying, Travis. I'm going to do something which is quite dangerous with WWE Creative, and that's give them the benefit of the doubt and think that they've got something in line for them to come up with. So I'll just see where they go. But I guess the upshot for me is if it gets Bray Wyatt as a babyface, and let's be honest, he's been spinning his wheels for the past 2 to 3 years. If they can get him as a sole babyface and give something to Luke Harper. I think we all agree Luke Harper is a phenomenal talent. You know, he's got that sort of size, which I think McMahon doesn't know what to do with him, because he's not like a smallish type of guy, but he's not like overly big. He's just sort of in the middle. If we could give something for him to sink his teeth into, I think it makes the storyline worth it, even if there is
like,
a few
when
holes
does being
here and there.
6'4", like 270 pounds, get you in the middle?
Well, I think he's not a 7-footer.
He's not like a, you know, muscular guy. He's just a big, tall, sort of, you know, heavy guy.
I guess he's not like a Kane. He's not like a Kane or an Undertaker or a real tall guy. But then he's not like a, you know, he's not like a 6-footer, like, you know, or like, you know, 5'8", like an AJ Styles or an Owens.
I think that's the deception, though. I think that's a deception, because if you stand those guys next to Kane, they probably look just like Kane. Size, Kane's probably a little thicker. But yeah, I just, you know, 6'4", 270, you know, it's just hard to be like, oh yeah, he's just a middle of the road size guy. So, but I think I get what you're saying. He's not a body guy at all. And he definitely isn't his face isn't something you think you'd put on billboards and stuff, but.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he is a big guy, but, in WWE world, I think McMahon sort of might slot him in the middle. And they haven't really done much with him, let's be honest, for the past couple of years. I mean, he has gotten injured, but given the way that he can move for his size, it'd be great if they could do something with him. But do you agree with me what I was saying about the Royal Rumble? I mean, I'm looking for positives here. I see them having qualifying matches on Raw and SmackDown.
I very much agree with that. I very much agree that you've got two titles in play, so you've got some more intrigue back and forth. And you've even got the intrigue of someone from SmackDown going, I want a shot at winning the Royal Rumble, or wanting a shot at the Universal title if you allow that. So, yeah, there's some games you can play here that should add a little bit more. And you're right, we've had some very predictable, some very predictable ones. But we already have a favorite. We already have Bill Goldberg, I think, as a major favorite. Whether it comes to fruition or not, and that's a good thing too. I think it starts people talking about what's next.
And Bruce,
you know, yes.
Before I forget, I would like to publicly state that I think I got everything wrong on Survivor Series, like everything.
Oh,
like every match, every title that was up for grabs, whether it was just the title or the division. Every single thing I got wrong. So.
Well, I hope you've learned a little lesson. I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing in some of them, so, but still, yeah. It's just how it plays out.
I was so sure the cruiserweights were going to SmackDown. It made so much sense. Why would you book that stipulation only to not do it? And then my concern was, are they going to have Kalisto win by technicality? So Kendrick keeps the belt, but the division goes to SmackDown. Well, no, they had him lose on the technicality, so the division didn't. So he didn't get the belt, and the it was what a bunch. Yeah,
it happens. What can you do? Guys, appreciate the call. Appreciate everybody calling today. Pretty interesting. I have to say, for a holiday show, we had a lot to talk about, and particularly we had a major topic to it. Good, Jason. Of course, it's not a holiday show for you. It's a show. So hopefully it was a good deal. Appreciate you calling. And Travis, I will talk to you soon. All right.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile friendly and PC and desktop friendly. and also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member one week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. It takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.